Hey, foos, it's Mr. T. The only thing funny than a roundabout show might be Rampage Jackson trying to play B.A. Baracus on that new A-Team movie. Everyone knows there's only one B.A. Baracus. That's me. Now I need you to do something for me. Go to the Roundabout Show website. Take the survey there. Why should you do that? Because if you don't, I'll make what I did to Balboa in that first fight look like a tickling match to you. Go do it now.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
In Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Craig Cole.
And I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 25, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Welcome to the Roundabout Games opening ceremony.
And right now, the Ice Ribbon Dancers are taking center stage.
I heard they spent nearly $2 trillion on this performance. That's quite expensive, Craig.
Yes, it is, Ben, but we should note that's $2 trillion Canadian.
Oh, yes. And look, the dancers have formed an effigy of Jeffrey Ross.
Don't forget, Ben, it looks like they've included his wife and daughters.
That's right, Craig. Twin daughters. He must be so proud.
So proud.
Now, this is interesting. They seem to be forming a long line with what looks like... Is that like a bulb on the end? Yum. Craig, is that a lollipop?
No, actually, I think it looks... Oh, wait, it's a catheter, of course.
Ooh! The first 10 rows may get wet. Hope you've got your ponchos, guys.
Oh, and next up comes the Australian Regiment of Kangaroo Riders, sponsored by social networking site Friendaroo.
Friendaroo, when you're afraid to come out of the pouch, Friendaroo me. Hey, what's that poking out of the leader Roo's pocket?
Oh, how cute, it's a little Joey. I bet she's a real scamp.
Next, we have the parade of dilapidated Roab vehicles.
I can't... I believe that's known colloquially as the Trail of Tears, Ben.
What's that one there, Craig?
It's a Lincoln Continental with beautiful opera windows.
Oh, very nice, very nice. That's the mark of a thoroughbred, Craig. It really typifies the breed. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And what's that horrible truck?
I can't quite make it out from here. Is it a Ranger?
Yes, I think so. Now, what's that in the bed, flailing in the black smoke? I think it's an elderly man, perhaps already deceased?
Oh my gosh. It's my favorite motion picture star,
Craig.
It's Jimmy Stewart.
Calm down. You can get an autograph later. Here comes the torch-bearing Ford Focus. Is that thing tricked out or what?
H-O-T, Ben. Hot. I bet he even has 10.5-to-1 compression.
Super cool. And to close out the ceremony, the dancers are back in the form of a giant roundabout logo. Beautiful.
Interesting to note, that's not actually a roundabout logo, Ben.
I know. Do you have to keep saying that? Maybe you want to design
now,
a logo
now. The lead dancer, this is interesting. What is he dressed as there, Ben?
I believe it's the 2010 Roundabout Games mascot, the mythical Mud Monster.
Oh, that's what this brooch represents. I thought it was just a lucky Japanese poop charm.
What a beautiful ceremony. Let's hope the rest of the games can live up to all this pomp and circumstance.
It won't, believe me. So there you go, guys. That's the intro. If you haven't guessed it already at 5 minutes or so, our theme this week is the... And if you're not
asleep... We're not allowed to say that. I'm going to have to bleep every time you say that, just so you know.
The boop!
I say we do it all the time.
It's the games with the colored five ring logo.
Audi?
Five ring.
The
so
Olympic.
Oh, man. I have to edit it's this
like
thing,
an,
you know?
It's like Jerry Springer now. You know, just be
if
one
Jerry
beat
Springer was in the... I love you, Ben.
Oh.
And that is, of course, the voice of our very own Jeffrey Bowman.
Sorry.
Zach Bowman. My bad. I'm sorry, Zach.
We are interchangeable.
Yes, I know. Used to be Siamese twins, I heard. Conjoined twins, right?
Joined at the... Well, you don't want to know.
No, we don't. But thank you. You're joining us from what city is it this week?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, same as always. Well, thanks for making it. We appreciate it.
I do what I can.
And Jeff Ross down in, the Florida Panhandle, or not.
Just east of the Panhandle.
Okay. How are things down in Jacksonville?
Once again, getting cold down here.
What, 65?
No, it was 30 the other day.
Jeez.
Wow. Maybe even this morning.
Wow. But it doesn't get that cold in Long Beach, does it, Michelle?
No, it doesn't. It's cloudy. I mean, we have our June gloom already. So, you know, we're sitting here suffering about 65 and cloudy. Yeah,
that's really suffering right there.
I know.
It's a shame. And Eric, how are things over in the Dearborns?
Waiting for my Friday special from Cisco's to be delivered.
Which is?
Did you see the picture of that today, Michelle?
I did. He's talking about Jesse James, West Coast Chopper's little restaurant on the corner here by my house. And they do these blue plate specials every day. And they are quite yummy, I have to say. Mm. I get them pretty often.
Yeah.
Jesse Jones.
That should be our sponsor.
Yeah, I know.
Who's this Jeremy Jones guy you're talking about?
You know what? He's famous because they married Sandra Bullock.
I was going to say, isn't he the husband of your favorite actress?
Who? Oh, that. So our theme this week is a certain international sporting event brings people together, does not tear them apart. I will not name, I will not disclose this particular sporting event, but it's happening right
Steel.
Now. Yes.
Sorry.
It's named after, I believe they had it in ancient Greece, remember?
Where naked men wrestled with each other?
Well, sure. Really what we should do is, I mean, you know, there's acronyms for every sort of, you know, WTF, right? Can mean a lot of different things, I think. So the IOC could be something completely different. So maybe we should all as a team come up with a different, you know, definition of what the IOC is.
What do you suggest, Michelle?
International Obsolete. Committee? I don't know.
International Osteopathic.
I know. International Obsessive Compulsives.
Yes.
There you go.
Ding,
that's
ding,
us.
Ding.
That's why we always start on time, you see. Because we're all obsessive
compulsive. Can't stand to be late. Can't stand to be late.
Ben is very punctual. Not that you'd believe it. No, not actually. He's not. Eric, on the other hand, very punctual. He's never late for a dental appointment or showing up for the show. Right, Eric?
Sure. I'm gonna say I haven't been to a dentist in almost 15 years, so I guess, sure, why not?
Is that your phobia?
No, I just haven't had dental insurance in 15 years.
Oh, God. Here we go again. All right.
We need the Eric Downer song.
Wah, wah, wah.
No, I'm a sad trombone.
I'm not being a downer. I haven't had it.
It's a downer for the rest of us, Eric.
Oh, okay. No big deal to me. No big deal to me. I don't care.
Well, we tolerate him, but
I haven't missed it.
Don't speak for yourself, Michelle. Don't be
putting
words.
Gun me to death, Eric.
You know what? Eric was always on time when I was in town, and he had to pick me up and take me somewhere. So he's an on-time guy.
He is. He uses a sundial, I heard. Right?
It's free.
Exactly. Unless it's cloudy, then you're screwed. But anyway, to fit our international gaming theme this week, we thought we would pick some gold medal winning stories to share. Right, Eric?
Exactly.
I think we've got a lineup of scintillating stories that will really tickle your fancy. So the first one we've got, I would like to announce the winner for the category, winning the gold medal in torque. And that is, of course, the new 2011 Ford F-Series Super Duty truck. Yes. Ford recently finally announced the output numbers for the engines that are going in this truck. In case you weren't aware, it's getting a new 6.2-liter gasoline V8. Which is expected to deliver 385 horsepower and 405 pound-feet of torque. Not numbers to sneer at, but a little lower than I expected. You know, Dodge seems to get nearly the same out of its 5.7-liter Hemi. You know, I don't have the numbers handy, but I think it's almost on par.
What were the for the gas, 385 and 405?
Yes. It just seems kind of low to me. I mean, and even the Raptor, the version that's going in the Raptor gets, 411 horsepower, I think.
Something like that.
Which also seems a little low to me. So I don't know why. Maybe they're focusing on fuel economy or what. But
I think the 5.7, at least in the Cherokee I had last week, was like 389 foot-pounds of torque, something like that. So,
and that's damn close to 405, and it's a smaller engine.
Yeah, that is.
Yes, and but what? It's not about the peak number. It's about how flat the curve is. Yes, there you go.
What day are we living in that 385 horsepower and 405 torque is not good?
It's true.
But for the displacement of the engine, I'm just saying it seems lower than it should be. That's all. It's 6.2 liters. This is their brand new engine, you know. It should be class leading, and it just I haven't done crunched the numbers or looked at specific output, but it just seems a little low.
It's a truck motor. It's not like it's in a Ferrari, okay, or a Lamborghini Gallardo.
I don't care. The numbers seem low to me, Eric. I know that it's the area under the curve and the
All right. So the gas one's low. Fortunately, they have a diesel for the
They do. Absolutely.
Guys that aren't comfortable with their equipment.
And 85, probably 80% of the F-250s and 350s will come equipped with the diesel. So.
Is it that high?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I know that ranches and farms, for their, like, power vehicle, they use the Dodge diesels. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the numbers are on that, but, I mean, they...
I think it's, like, 635 torque, 630 torque for the Cummins.
Yeah.
And they recently upped that to 6.7 liters, if I recall. It was, like... Maybe last year or the year before they boosted it. But anyway, Ford's new Power Stroke diesel that you alluded to, Zach, is new. It's Ford engineered, Ford designed, and Ford built. I believe in Mexico, though. And that's because they've jettisoned their longtime partner, Navistar. There was quite a scandal there, wasn't there, Eric? I don't know about the whole story.
It revolved around a bunch of warranty issues with the two previous diesel motors from International / Navistar.
Because what was it? The 6-liter Power Stroke was just a turd, basically.
The first year it was. After that, they fixed everything. Yeah. And then the 6.4 had its own issues as well.
Did it? I know there's a recall on that one, but I thought they had everything taken care of for that one. But anyway, we digress. There's a brand new 6.7 liter Power Stroke diesel V8 that Ford's coming out with for the trucks, and it's got what they're claiming as best in class horsepower, 390. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's generated at 2,800 RPM, so pretty low, really.
Not really.
And the torque number, though, is what you want to look at in a diesel, and its peak torque is 1,600 RPM, so barely above idle. And it's got 735 pound-feet. Holy crap.
That's almost as much as an Audi e-tron.
Oh, my God. You're right. 735. I mean, we're going to have 1,000 pound-feet of torque someday in a regular, like, truck. That's going to be absurd.
One could only hope so.
I know. Well, you throw on a Banks kit or something, or what, Bully Dog, I'm sure he'd be there.
It's already been done many times in drag racing purposes.
Oh, yeah.
So I made a joke when I saw these numbers earlier this week saying, forget about hooking it up to a 747 and seeing it tow, which is what Volkswagen did with their twin-turbo V10 diesel in the Touareg. Why doesn't Ford just hook this up to the thing that hauls the space shuttle out to the launch pad?
You use it in a tugboat or something, or an ocean liner, you just about could get away with it.
You know, I see these numbers, and all I want to do with that engine is put it in a Lincoln like the Lincoln I had.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say put myself in it or something. Anyway.
No, I think that would be awesome to have a biodiesel Lincoln with, 700 foot-pounds of torque.
I think it would move pretty well.
I had asked the question to some people in a truck forum of what the 5.9 Cummins motor weighs, because I thought, wouldn't that be cool and like in a 50 Merc kind of thing, street rod kind of thing, or like a 32 high boy. But they told me that the motor in trans weighs like 950 pounds.
What, the Power Stroke?
No. This is the Cummins. That's an inline six.
Yeah.
So I'd hate to know what this thing weighs.
But how many bees would it take to make that?
Probably a hive's worth. At least. So, yeah, what are they saying the stats are here? Class-leading towing capability, 26,400 pounds on chassis cabs, 24.4 on pickups. 24,000 pounds to tow.
That's a lot.
That's kind of a lot, yeah.
Be amazed how quickly that doesn't seem like a lot. Well, how little you can put in there, though. Because when you hook up like a 40-foot trailer, 40-foot gooseneck trailer to that thing, mm-hmm. or 42-foot gooseneck trailer, when the trailer itself weighs 12,000 pounds, you don't get to put a lot of stuff into it.
Only 12,000 pounds.
Wait, Olympic Olympic. Yeah. Later,
Michelle. Bleep that one there. I'm pulling a Zach here, Ben. So, yeah.
I think it's entertaining how these torque wars are going. Like Dodge came out with the Cummins, you know, last year or 2 years ago, and then Chevy just came out with the heavy duty. And everyone's
Announced the numbers though for their new.
No, they haven't. So but we'll it's gonna beat Dodge.
It'll probably beat the Ford. It'll be like 737 pound feet of torque, best in class.
Sort of like how the new V6 Mustang is 305 horsepower when the Camaro was 304 horsepower.
Well, that probably just happened in rounding. They're like, get it to 300, and oh, look, we happen to be one more. But the Mustang, well, that's another debate. moving along, Joey, you've got our next story. What's the best part? False alarm, Ben. Premature.
Aren't we going to play the national Ford anthem while we watch their while they get their medal?
Think Ford first.
As you say, the auto industry is finally getting on this, and it comes B20 compatible from the factory.
Good call. Yeah, just like the new Duramax.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're finally getting the clue here.
Yeah, but where can you buy biodiesel besides Bio Willy?
They're around. You just gotta Google it, and they pop up all over the place.
Look it up on Facebook or something. So yeah, okay. Now that we've had enough foreplay for Michelle's story, I'm gonna announce the gold medal in the driving category,
and it's not Craig Cole.
No, it's not, surprisingly.
And you know how I love my foreplay. So, song was awesome. There's a guy apparently who lives right?
Yeah,
I know, right?
Right?
Totally so, cool.
Man, we're down to 69 viewers.
Michelle's favorite number.
I killed them. It was me. That was completely insincere, by the way. There's a GM employee who he's a multi-generational GM employee of a veteran of 23 years who is
holy crap, that's nearly as old as I am.
Yeah. He drives 1,000 miles round trip for his job to keep his GM benefits.
Every day?
No. Every week.
Yes. I was testing you, Michelle.
She failed.
Yeah. He does that every day, Craig.
Wow.
Just like you do. Oh,
he tests all of us, trust me.
I've got a notebook here. I'm under the table. I check things off on. So, I'm watching you all. So, 1,000 miles a week. That's 16 hours of driving.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap.
What
right?
you won't do for healthcare, right?
Healthcare. Any emergency room will treat you.
Just ask Eric.
Oh.
Right, Eric?
Oh.
Oh. Well, I was in the emergency room on Saturday, but it wasn't for me.
See,
so.
There we go.
And yes, there were quite a number of characters in there.
Colorful characters,
yes.
Right? Overdosing, something.
Life flights, you know.
Awesome. Fun time. Yes. Yeah.
So what's he doing
anyways?
Yeah, tell the story, Michelle. He's doing it for insurance?
No, he's doing it to keep his job. I mean, he wants to keep his job at GM. Yeah. Right?
Apparently.
Well, if you were making $60,000 a year, you'd probably want to keep that job, too.
Well, probably move my house.
He makes.
Yeah, why don't?
I would think
why
so.
Didn't he just move?
He's got a family to support.
Because he doesn't want to take his kids out of school in the middle of the year.
He makes $28 an hour. And it's interesting because one of the times when I was flying to Detroit, I was actually next to a guy who's a software engineer that sells stuff to some OEM, which I won't mention because the guy was like, you know, he didn't want me to know. Whatever. But the guy was – this guy apparently works out of a Dallas office and Detroit, but his family
– Wait. I'm sorry. He sells software and he works out of Dallas, but he's from Detroit, and his name is what, Kwame?
No. So here's the deal. So he was working for this software company that does something that was in Detroit. They moved to Dallas because it was much cheaper for – them to operate out of Dallas. Meanwhile, his family, he and his wife have kids, had bought a house in Flint. But then they had been planning before everything fell down to move to Portland. So they'd also bought a house in Portland. So this guy commutes between Portland, Dallas, and Flint in order to work.
I'm confused.
Like, I know it was like really confusing to me, but apparently that's the way this family is like making their life work right now.
It sounds pretty dysfunctional.
I thought so, but it's not a matter. You can't just sell a house in Flint, can you?
You can burn it down and collect.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Just ask Ben. He's a native of Flint, Buick City. Right,
hey, you buy a 5,000 square foot house in Flint for about what, 10 grand, 20 grand?
They had one on the news for a dollar. All you had to do is move it.
But they're upside down. So, yeah. I mean,
well, so then you walk away. Do you just walk away from it?
I think people care about their credit scores. I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing, the government has set it up for you to do it this way. So if you're playing by the rules the government has set up for you, you put your house up for sale, you buy a house the next place, and in the process of once you're approved and you start your mortgage in the new house, you just quit paying on the old house, you walk away from it, it's foreclosed, and by the time all that happens 12 months from now, whatever credit hit you would have taken has been more than made up from by the purchase and the payment on time of a new house.
On time is the qualifier.
Well, if you're living in the new house, you're probably going to pay that mortgage on time if you have the job where you're living, right?
But if you had to give up your old house,
you walked away from
some, it. I'm hearing some twirling of handlebar mustaches. And adjusting the monocles here.
I've spoken to other people who've been in the financial industry and other people who've done mortgages and sold houses, and this is not exactly, you know, new with people doing this all the time.
Well, what were we talking about again, Michelle?
We're talking about a guy that commutes a ton of miles every week to keep his job.
I wonder what kind of car he drives.
Probably Ford Focus or something.
Didn't they build trucks in Janesville? Wasn't that the truck plant? Oh,
what did they build in Janesville? No, they built
SUVs.
Janesville,
then the old Ashima Assembly, ended production
they built
of SUVs.
The Malibu's there?
No, that's Kansas.
No, Malibu's Kansas. That's okay. Fairfax.
You're talking about Janesville,
last
right?
Week?
Yeah.
Janesville, the article says.
Oh, I didn't say Fairfax.
SUVs. So probably the T-Bag Trailblazer and. Bravada.
Trailblazer was Oklahoma City.
I'm just guessing.
It's sad that we actually know this stuff, actually. Right. Oh, that plant.
Yeah. Well, our next story involves a GM product as well. And it gets a medal. Taking home the gold in the luck category, right, Ben? There it is.
That's right, Craig.
And, Eric, why don't you tell us a little about this story? It comes from Hooniverse, our friends over at Hooniverse.
Yeah, and while this was posted by Joe Schmo, I think that another one of our friends
they
possibly
had a TV show on Spike TV about him.
Joe Schmo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so there's some interesting spelling that I thought maybe this article was posted by one of our friends in Minnesota. So. But there's an inside joke.
You're so
very
enigmatic.
He's an enigma smothered in a mystery.
So
wrapped up in a
guy's rolling around
tortilla.
In his brand new in his brand new
burrito
Chevy 1500 pickup truck down
ahead.
This road. And
all right, start from the top again since we were interrupting. I'm sorry.
So this gentleman happened to be driving down this trail or this driveway.
Trail of Tears.
Yeah, in his Kale brand, in what appears to be a brand new 1500 Chevy pickup truck. When the gate that he was going to go through was, while it was open, wasn't fully opened, and he about it about caused him to become a eunuch.
He skewered his
castrated.
Truck.
Yeah.
That would not have been pretty.
No, this metal, the metal from the gate went right through his fender, right through the firewall, right up underneath the dash, and literally probably rubbed up against the family jewels.
Tickled his scrotum, you'd say, right?
Yes.
Eric?
Well, let's just say, if he it set up perfectly for a catheter for off-roading right at this point.
I mean, off-road catheter, there you go. It's pretty commodious diameter, too.
Yeah. So. It's funny, because I've actually heard this happening to someone else a number of years ago.
Ooh.
A guy that I know who raced, who's a factory racer in AMA Superbikes, they were out at for the race at Fontucky, and he was coming. He had left something in his motorhome, and he was coming back for it. And he had some tricked out little Mini Cooper S. Came around a corner, and one of the gates wasn't closed all the way, and the pipe, one of the pipes for the gate, went right through his windshield between him and his wife. And it was like black, couldn't see. I mean, they literally missed killing one of them by
inches.
less than 6 inches.
Awesome. That's terrifying. Yeah, but so this is like that one in a million shot or something, you know? I mean, you look at this and it's like, how did it even happen?
Or how did he survive?
Exactly. How did he not get his, you know,
junk removed?
That pipe in the front seat just makes me think he turned to his wife and said, you know that vasectomy we've been talking about?
Taken care of. Don't worry about it.
That is terrifying. It's just, the guy came around the corner. It looks like the bushes obscured an open gate, and it just punched right through the fender, firewall, everything, and
he had to have been junk. He had to have been moving down that trail pretty at a pretty good clip to have that happen. And I think
might be surprised. Could have punctured.
And I think that cow catcher he has on the front of it probably saved his stuff.
What?
His stuff. Because if you look,
his gold.
His torch. Yeah.
Because if you look at where it's how it there's a if you look at the picture on Hooniverse of the gate going through it and how it stopped, I think the car came to a or the truck came to a very sudden stop and at just the right amount of time.
Yeah,
I would drive that truck just the way it is. Just because people would be like, what the hell happened to your truck? Be like, you want to know what happened to my truck? I'll tell you about it.
No, cut the pipe off from the beginning and leave the interior like it is, too.
Be a little uncomfortable to step over the bar.
Just straddle it.
Yep.
Straddle it.
I'm curious. You said the truck has manual windows? I didn't know any vehicle still had roll-up windows available.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he's got some custom switches on the dash, too, if you look. In one
I'm
of
guessing
the
that thing was
fourth.
A company truck there.
Or a work truck.
Yeah, some kind of work truck. Looks like there's some...
It's a white Silverado T900.
I don't know if that's an inverter on the floor down there or something.
Who the hell knows?
Black thing down
who
there.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Craig.
It doesn't sound like Craig's Focus.
Not clattering and belching smoke. No. All right, Zachary, you got our next story.
Yes, sir.
What did this person win gold for? That was a question.
Clearly,
I was waiting for the music.
All right. Fair enough.
Metal for stupidity.
The music's so awesome.
It is. It brings a tear to the eye every time. Gold medal in stupidity goes to a gentleman who traded a $1.6 million Bugatti Veyron for a $100,000 Chevrolet Corvette ZR1.
Hmm.
He didn't trade it straight up.
Well, no, of course. He got the car and some cash, but still. And I have to agree with this guy's decision, actually.
In a previous show, didn't we determine that the wheels and tires on this thing cost less than a ZR1 cost less than the wheels and tires?
I think you have to change the wheels and tires every like 10,000 or 12,000 miles, something like that. And it's like 30 grand, something ludicrous.
It literally costs less to operate a private jet than it does to drive this car, the Veyron. And the ZR1 is, you know, it's just like any other GM vehicle. You go out, you hit the key, and most of the time it starts. So
that's a rousing endorsement for General Motors, right? Yeah.
I'm kidding.
A vote of confidence.
As far as supercars go, the Corvette is it's great. I mean, you could hand it over to your grandmother and she could drive it to the grocery store without, you know, too much of a worry. And that's not the case with the Veyron, and I think he did a good job here. I think I would have sold the Veyron instead of
traded in. That's the dumbest thing to do. Well, isn't a trade in you take a huge hit, Michelle?
You know, in this case, not really. I mean, they're basically what happened was probably the guy had no loan on the car. I mean, he previously owned. Really, you know, big car.
This guy is probably one of the wealthiest. I mean, he basically owns Midland, Texas. There's I don't know if it's in here or if it's elsewhere. It ran through the list of vehicles he's owned. Oh, yeah.
One was like a McLaren F1, like the first one.
Yeah, Diablo, Veyron. I mean, you know, this guy.
He's a friend of George W.
No, he's from Crawford, Texas.
But then my question is, why would he even...
They still shoot their guns in the air, don't get me wrong.
Pew.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Sorry. Continue.
Facebook me.
Yes, we'll Facebook.
But why would he even need to trade this in the first place? Yeah. If he has enough money to buy it, he probably has enough money to blow
on
a ZR1.
Good point, Jeff. That's so logical.
And at the end of the day, if you read in a little farther in some of the comments, it wasn't really a trade in so much as it was on consignment.
Yeah.
And in fact, it wasn't even a Bugatti Veyron when you read closer.
Right, it was a Pontiac Fiero.
It was
with the body kit.
No, actually, it was a Chevy Prism. But we digress.
It had swamp damage.
Quick and
there was a pelican hanging on to the back of the roof.
Actually, this looks like Conan's mouse Veyron.
Wasn't it blue?
No,
that was blue.
That was blue. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was red.
Jeff, are you high?
I hate Conan.
Really?
You're going to get Ben's dander up saying stuff like that. You don't want to see him angry.
Jeff and I
ignoring.
Okay. Conan's idea of what to do with a Veyron is dress it up like a mouse. Just imagine
Isn't
what.
Isn't it called irony?
For one stupid joke, you hate Conan?
No. I've always hated him, but.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah, me too.
What would Jay have done with the Veyron? He would have done
something cool,
drive it around LA, you know, show people it. Instead, Conan's lanky, goofy personality. Let's dress it like a mouse. Conan.
I'm staying out of this. I'm so
staying
out of this.
Well, on that note, I think
It says everything about Ben and Craig's idea of irony, though, because it's really not that funny.
Well, I think we're done with this show now.
Been nice knowing you guys. We're at.
Ben is so angry he's lactating. I hope you're happy.
And a
mouse.
Did I do that? Heidi Ho Winslow, got any cheese? All right. Okay, on that sour note, I think we can take a quick commercial break. I wanted to talk a moment about the podcast survey that we have on our lovely website. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
That is right. If you go to roundaboutshow.com, I invite all of you out there to take our brief listener survey. If you look in the sidebar of the site, again, roundaboutshow.com, you'll see a beige box called Listener Survey. You can either click on that or there's a charming.
I think you're colorblind. I don't think that's beige.
What color is it then?
I believe that's like
I actually
yellow.
Am.
Champion
actually
gold.
Am.
Are you colorblind?
Slightly.
Oh, Craig.
Yes.
Explain so much about
you. Sad.
You should get disabled blades for the photos. Yeah.
No, I've...
When we go out to dinner, we could park closer. Why didn't you say something earlier?
Aren't you colorblind, Ben? I don't see color on people. I know that.
Oh,
it's yellow. That's the answer.
Okay, whatever.
Yellow box. You'll see a yellow box.
The taupe and green. Is it slightly green, too?
No.
Anyway, take the damn survey, and Craig will stop dancing. That's the
point
of the story.
Below that charming graphic, there's an animated GIF that Ben did as well, and it's a lovely...
Oh, blame it on me.
It's a parody, Ben. You know that. I'm promoting this beautiful animation you made. Podcast rates are falling. Take our survey, please. I'm asking you.
The funny thing is that Ben sat there taping Craig dance.
Yes, for longer. He was just standing there watching me gesticulate like that.
I see him like smoking a cheap cigar and like...
Put your hips out.
That's right.
Now put your arms in the air like that.
Yeah.
Put your hands in the air. Faster. Move them back and forth like you just don't care.
Turn around.
And what was supposed to be...
I say hey, you say ho.
What was supposed to be a promo for the website has turned into a sexually explicit rant. So thanks, guys. Thank you for...
And what's the survey.
Downing the flight.
Take the survey. I'm going to promote the survey just
so survey me.
Stop dancing. Survey me. Have Craig stop dancing. That's my new... hashtag.
That's the promise.
Take the survey.
I'll tell you what. We've got a goal of 50 people taking this survey.
Very modest goal, by the way.
Right now, we're up to 19. We make it to 50, I take the Craig off the site. You don't have to look at it anymore.
You make it to 50, Ben buys us donuts. How about that? Don't know how you guys are going to get it over Skype. Maybe he can fax them to you or something so you can have
fresh. Don't make us engage Jerry Lewis.
What about Jerry Lewis?
And we'll do a telethon.
Telethon on swelling up. I don't think there's a need for that, Michelle.
No, you just got to dress. You just got to dress up in a tux and sweat a lot.
Go to roundaboutshow.com, please. I beseech you, take our podcast survey. Make us feel like humans. Make us feel vindicated. Make us proud. You can do it. Nicorette can help. Hint, hint, Michelle. Now, and with that, I think it's time.
Nicorette.
Voice box.
Would you like to learn more about quitting smoking? Click here.
Surgeon General's warning, smoking is bad for you. Michelle's... Michelle's
God
lungs
damn it.
Michelle, I think your lungs have more tar than the 405. That was a joke, by the way.
You dig me deeper when you say these things.
Craig apparently has has gone back to last week and got out his can of gas again.
Yep.
I thought it was diesel.
That's anyway. Kerosene.
Yeah, kerosene. All right.
Hey, what's that?
When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week's story is all about the recently completed backhoe competition, right, Jeff? There was a supporting event regarding backhoes. Why don't you tell us who won the gold medal?
It's a man from Lyons, New York. And
really?
The irony behind this story is he demolished 24 cars that were demolition derby cars. And even better, he used a backhoe to do it with.
But why?
And I thought when you backhoes, you'd find those on the Jersey Shore.
Oh.
Jersey
girls.
Jersey girls aren't trash.
Well, he was angry with
trash
his wife.
Picked up.
Yep.
He was angry with his wife, so he decided 29-year-old Michael Fagner.
What?
Wait, should have been angry with his parents.
Maybe he's French. Maybe it's Michael Fagnier.
Fagner. Wait, Michelle, you've got a minor in romance languages. What is that?
Oh, my God. What is that name? His parents should be shot for not changing it. Ellis Island.
Now we know why he has a propensity to crushing things. He was teased all throughout his childhood.
Fagner, get over here.
Fagner, get over here.
It's Fagner.
Oh, it's even perfect in a New York accent, too. Fagner, yes.
The best part is...
It is Fagner.
The excuse he probably used growing up. No, it's not Fagner, it's Fagnay. Pronounce it right, guys.
Michael Fagnay.
Fag you.
You know...
But what a waste, because when I was growing up, I loved demolition derbies.
They're awesome. There's no reason not to love them.
So why would you destroy... I mean, if anything, go through a mall parking lot and destroy people's cars. Don't or destroy a demolition
hospital
derby
and
cars.
Go throw medical equipment on the floor. Whatever. You know? Why a demolition derby?
It's such a shame.
And why a backhoe? Was he just like, I'm pissed. Oh, backhoe there, cars. Mm. I mean, it's kind of what
probably
it seems
something
like.
Just like that, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put the story together, backhoe destroying demolition derby cars, I guarantee that's never been done before. This guy has done something that no one else on the planet has done. Good for him.
But why did he do like a field of
we
dreams?
We salute you, Fagné.
For once, I wasn't the one cutting Michelle. Wow.
No, so but it should be like a Field of Dreams thing, like, right? Like, they will come. He could have charged people $5 a piece to come and watch that.
Ooh. Instead, he got charged $5,000 for bail.
So, yeah, I remember when in high school, to raise money for stuff, it was like, you know, pay a dollar, get three swings with a sledgehammer on some pile of crap car. You know, pay $5. Pay $5, you could take the backhoe and smash in the car or something. Awesome.
Vagna.
I just typed in Michael F. into my Google search. I was going to try and find a phone number for this guy, and it automatically...
call him. Bail him out if we need to. He's on Facebook.
Facebook me.
No photo, though. That's a shame.
Is
that male Newark High School, 98. There you go.
He's from Newark?
Newark, Jersey. Or maybe Burlington, Mass on classmates.gov, .com. So I don't know. We'll have to look
you
into that.
Check him on Friendaroo?
Friendaroo me. We should seriously try to get in touch with this guy. That would be funny to have him on the program.
The program?
Program. I like. See, how else am I supposed to sound like a 70-year-old Baptist minister from Arkansas, Michelle?
Adam is a friend on Facebook. Facebook!
Friendaroo me.
Friendaroo
me.
Friend me.
On the FB.
So 30 cars. So, wait, nobody was able to, like, stop him before he destroyed 30 cars?
Well, I mean, realistically, if you see a man going berserk with a backhoe, what are you going to do?
You tranquilize him or something.
It's not like you stroll up and tap on the window and be like, son, it's time to calm down.
Simmer down there.
Have you ever seen one of those things spin? No, that's not okay.
They can whip around.
Yes, they can. I'm sure he would black out before the things, you know, ran out of fuel, so.
I'm almost more interested to know how Craig knows that they can whip around.
Because they're like tanks. You put one tread in one direction, you pull back on the other, and it's a zero radius turning vehicle.
No, I know that. But how does Craig know that?
Are you implying that I'm some sort of social rube, Michelle?
Ooh, this is awkward.
Just hit the M key and mark this section, Ben. You can cut it right out. Oh, yeah, so there, you know, man, 30 cars. You know, but even at 30 cars, it's probably not that big of a loss. They're just demolition derby. They're going to get
$40,000.
Not true, man. Demolition derby guys put a lot of cash in their engines.
Yeah.
It's true, man.
They get them up and running. New distributor.
It's not bad, you know. You've got to have power. You got to have reinforcement for the parts that need to be reinforced.
The driver's door.
You got to have a fuel cell.
In the back seat.
Yep, because
you got to chain the doors shut.
Yeah, this is serious money, man. It takes some cash.
You got to be able to run a motor for about 10 minutes with no coolant in it.
Mm-hmm. Fail safe.
Just use a 4-liter Jeep. Jeep!
Okay, I think that story is dead. Ben, play the next whatever.
What are we doing next here?
Let's take a peek.
In the garage.
Oh. Talk about what we've been driving.
Hey, I smell some opera windows.
That sounds better every time I hear it.
You missed the link, and that's why, Zach. You're waxing nostalgic for that beauty.
I miss the V8. I don't miss the car. Let's put it that way.
All right, fair enough. But, okay, Zach, you had a vehicle this week, so why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, a vehicle with a V8. I had a
V-type 8-cylinder engine. You're shitting me.
God, Eric, punch him in the goddamn face, will you please? I had the 2010 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. It was a surprisingly nice vehicle. Had the 5.7 liter V8.
I'm surprised they have you on the list there. For driving these things, you know?
Why is that,
Greg? Are we talking about the car?
Yes. Tell us about the Grand Cherokee, please.
Thank you, Michelle. You know, on the outset, it doesn't, you know, it hasn't changed that much in quite a while. You know, Chrysler doesn't exactly have the cash to be dumping into, you know, updating fascias and crap like that. But the interior, good God, you talk about good looking. It had a very attractive two-tone leather, dark brown and light
acres
tan.
Acres of hard plastic.
No, surprisingly enough. You know, the dash was all soft touch material, as well as the doors. It had very attractive burl wood insets.
That's genuine Saudi Arabian burl wood. They pump those timber right out of the ground, I heard.
It was
Craig,
not.
You need to play the quiet game.
Hold on.
It was pretty much as far from what I would have expected from a Jeep as you could imagine. It did have some problems. The transmission was a 5-speed automatic, was a little befuddled at times. You know, like sometimes it wouldn't figure out which gear it needed to be in. Other times you would get a very, very hard shift out of it.
But, I blame you Germans.
They like things firm.
But on the whole, it was a great, great truck. Fantastic stereo.
Zach, just so you know, and for those of you, I don't know, Ben, which camera you have up. But I have a roll of gaff tape, so just, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right, so cool. thanks, Eric, Jeff, you also drove a larger vehicle with some power. Why don't you tell us about it?
I drove the 2010 Ford Flex with EcoBoost, which has a V6 with the power of a V8.
Go on.
And that's about all that's new for 2010. It's a new twin turbo.
It's got nice torque.
It's definitely got giddy up when you give it the spurs.
Yeah, for such a big, cumbersome vehicle, it does accelerate very fast.
What color did you have?
Tuxedo black with a silver roof.
Okay, that was so girly of you, Eric. That's my question.
Well, I was getting to the point of more of the point we talked about earlier this week, Michelle, because I was getting to say what color was the interior? Jeff?
True.
Dark.
He doesn't see color either, you see?
So did you find the interior claustrophobic with the dark, or did you think it was quite roomy and airy?
I don't think anyone could feel claustrophobic in a Flex. I mean, that thing's got so much interior space. That's one thing I love about it. You can sit in any row of the seats, and you got plenty of headroom and legroom.
Do you have the refrigerator in the second row?
No, it didn't have anything. It didn't have the parking assist, the panoramic sunroof, or the refrigerator. Wow. But I still like it. It's still one of my favorite new vehicles on the road right now.
Yeah. Cool. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, now, Michelle, you were driving some pretty exciting vehicles this week. Usually you don't have a in the garage, but tell us what you've been in this week.
Well, yesterday I went to an event, actually. I haven't had a car in the garage, as you would say, but I went to something called Aircraft Experience, and it's something that Porsche is doing with some, airplane manufacturers and salespeople, where they're going around the country and they're doing this tour of showing these uber expensive airplanes that, you know.
License, Michelle? Is that what you're telling us?
I don't anymore. This is kind of embarrassing. I grew up in airplanes. my dad had an airplane when I was growing up because we lived in New Mexico around nothing. So my dad's architect was also our pilot, and we had a plane. And so every so time
what,
I need
what to... Michelle was saying is that she was conceived as a member of the Mile High Club.
Or was
no.
your...
Dirty.
No, was... my... No.
There goes
no,
our clean
no,
rating,
totally.
Eric. Thank you.
As no, opposed to the F-bomb that you dropped?
Why do you always have to blame me, Eric?
Michelle.
Moving on.
Michelle, was your dad the guy from Independence Day?
No, this is completely an 80s, like, boondoggle. That's what happened in the 80s. Like, people drove cars that they shouldn't have, and they owned airplanes that they shouldn't have had. There were a lot of people that did, and my parents were sort of those people for a time. So they had airplanes in the 80s, and, you know, they look like Winnebagos on wheels to me now. I mean, I don't fly anymore. Small planes scare the bejesus out of me. Anyway, I went to this event, and so I got to peek inside some of these, you know, some of these jets were like $450 million, whatever, blah, 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 like crazy things. And I think what they were doing, it was kind of like timeshares. They were actually selling fractional ownership of these airplanes, and they had the Porsche people come out with a bunch of really pretty cars with a and set up a closed track so that these people that might potentially invest in these airplanes would, you know, be enticed because they would get to also drive Porsches and they'd get to get business cards from the salesmen around the area. Mm. So I drove a 911 and a Boxster.
Well, what's your take? You already own a German thoroughbred of your own.
I've driven a 911 before. You know, same experience as always. I think it's, you know, nice and predictable. I've never driven a Boxster, actually. So
was it a regular Boxster? Was it an S or was it the Spider?
It wasn't a Spider.
Did it have a real transmission or did it have that piledy crap transmission? What?
It's the Porsche.
It had a crap one, and it actually had door handles. So
okay,
it's the payday car.
Yeah, pile D crap.
Porsche Doppelkupplungsgetriebe. Write that down.
You know, I've driven the Cayman before, and I wasn't crazy impressed by it. Honestly, I don't know.
The Cayman is such a good looking car. I mean, that's
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But
I've never driven one, so I
So how'd you like the drive?
The Boxster kind of made me laugh because it was so easy to drive. I can see where, you know, people can get in trouble in it. I was kind of whizzing around this closed course with this professional driver that was sitting in the passenger seat and pointing out the planes as they were taking off and asking him questions, and I wasn't even really looking at the course, and I think I scared him a little bit.
Michelle, it's that time for you.
Okay. So yeah, I drove the Boxster and the 911, and it was, you know, it was nice. And
you ready to trade your Z3 for a Boxster?
No.
The Boxster's not really cute like the Z3. Come on.
It was kind of funny, actually. It was a valet parked event, one of those. And I was driving up, and I was like, oh, my God, I have a Diet Coke cup and an empty Diet Coke bottle. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I have to valet now. I'm so embarrassed. And the Planner's peanut candy bar wrapper in the pocket of the
door. So you had a healthy lunch then, a balanced meal.
Exactly. It's protein. It's peanuts. And when I was waiting for my car, there was this guy standing there telling me how he had a Cayman, he had a 911, and he had his son was there with him, and he was trying to buy – he wanted to buy a Cayman – or no, a Cayenne. And the guy was like it was all geeks or really, really Euro-trendy people that were at the event.
Hmm. So DBs like their Boxsters, 911s, Porsche.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, I think we can move on to our next segment. We can do another installment of Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Island? Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. So, Ben, You've got the supercomputer fired up, I hope.
Hang on. I gotta pull start it. Just a sec. Oh!
First try, though, the vacuum tubes must have been warmed up.
Sounds like the snowblower I was using before I came here.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
All right, so you got that thing going. Pop out a vehicle.
Yeah, let me grab one. We have a winner.
Or a loser,
and
typically.
This week, for our panelists' convenience, the car picker has put the links in the show notes.
So can we click there now?
I think you can click number one. Right. Number one on our list is a 1998 Ford Ranger Splash.
Nothing brings back the early 90s like a Splash Edition Ranger.
Was this formerly owned by a member of the Palin family? It's in Wasilla.
Joe the Plumber. Sorry.
Joe the Plumber's not in.
I know.
So the question is... Who drives a 1998 Ford Ranger Splash?
Someone desperate and lonely.
Who has a two-wheel drive truck in Anchorage, Alaska?
Someone with driving skills, Eric.
Who cleaned... Never mind. I was going to say something bad about Eric's Ranger, but I will not.
No, feel free. This is the Slamcast portion of the show, so go ahead.
No, but I think these are definitely the girly... pickup trucks.
Yeah.
The Splashes I always remember had like the pink splash sticker.
Yeah, I agree with
you.
And they were teal. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And always that flare side bed too, as I recall.
That was the splash part.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff, why don't you start us off? Who drives this truck?
I would say an 18-year-old girl. First car.
All right. Pretty good guess.
$99 a month lease.
Eric, what do you think drives this thing?
I'll
you concur.
17 to 22 year old girl, yeah.
All right. Michelle?
I think a little bit older.
Although wait a minute, a girl probably doesn't drive this one because it's a 5-speed manual.
That's just too much.
There are girls who drive 5-speed manual. My wife drives 5-speed manual.
Okay, wait. Let me tell you a cool story while my fiance is still on here. Last summer, I went to drive the Aston Martin down in South Beach.
Oh, and I was driving the Aston Martin down in South Beach, yes. Sorry.
Did you beluga caviar? Yes.
We go to get in the car, and she's like, oh, it's not a manual transmission. And I was like,
yes.
This is why I love you.
It was at that moment you decided to propose to her?
Oh, my God. You know what we need?
They got remarried.
We need a theme song for... the Jeff and Amanda stories.
We do.
We Mud totally
Monster, get
do.
Right on that.
Yeah, Mud Monster.
Leading up to the wedding. Let's do it.
Make it a George Michael song.
Wake me up before you go-go?
No.
All right, before we get sidetracked even further, Michelle, who drives the 98 Ford Ranger Splash?
I think she's an older girl. I think she's actually a stripper. She's a hard ass, and she knows how to drive stick.
And a tramp stamp, right?
And she has a kid.
Oh, single mother.
You're not supposed to put kids in the front seats of...
Just because you're not supposed to does not mean people
she's
don't.
She's a stripper.
Think about it, though, Jeff.
And I think her kid is probably about 10.
The airbag has probably gone off anyway, and they just stuffed it back in there. It's fine.
Are we still talking about the truck?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah. You're quite the comedian there, Jeff, you know?
That was Zach. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
He knows.
Zach, who drives this truck?
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to say a teenage guy. I'm going to say it's his first car. The advantage of the Splash is that the bed is fiberglass, not stamped steel. So the bed is considerably lighter, and it makes the entire truck lighter. And if I'm not mistaken,
and warmer when you're sleeping on it, right?
Yes, but if I'm not mistaken, the Splash editions came with a limited slip differential in the rear, which is the
for
same
all
differential
that power of the 3-liter, right?
Yes, and because there was no traction in the rear. And I'm fairly certain it was the same rear end that they used in the Mustang of the era. So, just going to put that out there.
All right.
Not as bad as it looks.
And I'm going to say a mid-40s unemployed gentleman would drive a Ranger Splash for the 1998 vintage.
Or a guy named Michael Fagnier.
Fagner. Hey, Fagner. All right.
Nice truck, Fagner.
You better shut up before I run you over with my splash.
Nice range, you Fagner.
Ben, you need a splashing sound or something. dumping a bucket of water. But in lieu of that, what's our next vehicle? No whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
Aha! A 1984 Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Oh, God. Oh.
What?
This is somebody's hoopty in Detroit. That's all I'm going
to
say right there.
No, once again,
crack
we've
dealer.
Gone to Anchorage, Alaska for this.
This looks like the car from that Marky Mark movie filmed in Detroit.
Yes, I saw that movie.
I love that scene. He plows into the other guy. And like,
oh, yeah.
You killed my grandma!
I love that the front end is styled after a medieval battering ram. You know, it just don't get hit by this thing or you're done.
I've got exciting news. Yes. I actually have a story about this car.
Where's the graphic, Ben?
Oh, God. We haven't had one in so long. Oh, go.
Insert edit point here.
All right. So my grandfather actually bought one of these new, and it was midnight.
Is this the grandfather that ran away?
No, different grandfather.
Did your grandmother then sell the car a week after?
No.
Okay.
He bought it new. It was that like dark metallic blue, right? And evidently in the 80s, this was a super attractive car, like very, very hot. It still baffles me. Like to this day, my father pines for one of these for some reason.
About 10 years, it was a hard car to insure because it was the most stolen car in the U.S.
Yeah. There you go. So my grandfather's kind enough to loan it to my father for prom night, okay? And Dad spends the entire day getting the car shined up, looks cherry. And his mother, my grandmother, says, well, will you run to the market real quick and grab some eggs? So Dad jumps in the car, goes to grab some eggs, and there's a big four-lane highway down the road from the house. And Dad sees a cop coming down the other side, like oncoming traffic. So Dad moves into the far right lane to get away as far away from the cop as he can. The cop cuts across like into oncoming traffic and hits the car head on.
Oh my God.
Demolishes it. I mean the car may have been like 4 maybe 5 months old. I mean it was like dead trashed. So Dad is severely bruised from the seatbelt. He's okay other than the bruises. And the whole deal was he told the girl that he was taking that, we're taking my parents' Oldsmobile, and, she's all excited about this. They end up having to take...
Oldsmobiles were exciting at one point after the Rocket 88.
I mean, so they end up having to take my grandfather's farm truck, which was like an old butternut yellow, like hideous C10 Chevrolet, right? Like the radio didn't work and the heat didn't work and it's like in October.
Smelled like chicken crap.
Right. She gets in there and the instant she, Dad tells her, none of this crap works. The instant she touches the buttons, they fire right up, no problem. They end up, because they were late, they had to park in the middle of the football field, which was all mud. So by the time they get to the dance, she just basically leaves his ass there. So that's the story of
another uplifting story.
And how much did they sue the cops for the head-on collision?
Not a dime, believe it or not.
This has been a story with Zach Bowman.
Lawsuits aren't allowed in the South, I don't think.
She
a grocery store
mother.
Chain, asshole. Yeah, we settled that with blood down here.
That's right.
Yeah.
You kill women when they steal your food. You try to take one of the tots off my lunch plate, that's it. I'm going to cut you. In the torso.
So, who drives this car now? I'm going to go single mother, down on her luck, possibly given the car. That's where I'm going to go with this.
Joey, who drives this car?
I say a woman in her early 60s who still feels like she's young. Her son lives at home, and she's doing, a minimum wage job in something.
Well, that's very specific. Eric, who drives
this? You're welcome.
Well, around in this area?
You're probably going to go with the same thing I said.
Well, I was going to say, in this area, it would be a wannabe gangster looking to put some 20 foes on it.
We'd have them on there, and the car would be falling apart.
That's
some
true.
Donks.
Some donks, yeah.
Jeff, who drives one of these?
I would say it's a mid-30s guy who loves the Grand National. I can't afford one.
True.
All right. So what's our last vehicle, Ben?
Let me see.
Make it a good one. Come on, come on, come on.
Saw one of these yesterday.
1989 Isuzu Trooper.
Ugh.
Oh, you forgot the most important. You forgot the most important part with the starter halfway removed. So who's driving this truck?
Nobody. Well, it is a stick, so you could push start it.
It will compression. Just serious right rattling with that starter down there.
4x4 works great. Everything on it works great except the starter. Hey, sounds like a good deal. It's a stick. You can push start it.
In the snow of Alaska.
Look, on the bright side. Would you just stop being a Debbie Downer, Eric?
Or just freeze to death out there.
Yeah. Didn't Acura make a version of this?
Well, I think they licensed, rebadged it. They
It was called the MDX, yeah.
No.
The ZDX.
No.
It wasn't the MDX. It was like the SLR McLaren or something.
Wasn't it the Honda Passport was the Isuzu Trooper?
That's the result of this thing.
Okay, enough minutia. Who the hell drives this? Anybody?
No one.
In my neighborhood, an illegal alien from the Mideast.
What country in the Mideast? Hazard
pick
guess.
One.
Benin, Qatar?
Something like that.
Okay, Yemen. Michelle?
It was the Acura SLX.
SLX, damn it.
I was close to SLR.
NSX, XLS.
My aunt actually had one of those.
Joey.
Yeah, one of my best friends actually had one of these because she was dating one of the car salesmen.
Oh.
She couldn't have picked a better dealership to...
That guy's still bragging about that to his friends. I sold an Isuzu Trooper to this girl. You would not believe.
And then I banged her.
Actually, they have two kids and they're... married for a long time now.
They're in the family way, I see. Oh, God, Ben. One episode. You think you could go one episode without that sound effect?
Nope.
So close. Nope.
Can't.
All right. Jeff, who drives this?
I would say somebody who wants a Land Rover, but, again, can't afford one.
I agree. Somebody that I envision somebody, some, like, mid-40s, slender, athletic couple would drive this. They've got a couple kids. They believe in keeping their cars forever. So even though it's a total shit box, they just keep driving it and fixing it. Because it's good for the environment to not have to buy a new vehicle, you know? And they use, like, cardboard, recycled toilet paper or something, all kinds of stuff like that.
Well, and at $1,100, it costs less than, I don't know, a spark plug for a Land Rover.
Good point.
In Australia, this was known as the Holden Jackaroo.
Jackaroomy!
I bet it's on Friendaroo!
Friendaroomy! Friend of Wallaby.
Fan page.
Oh, God. Well, Ben, those were wonderfully depressing choices yet again. All from Alaska, oddly. I wonder how that worked out. But, you know, it's random chance, so you never know what you're going to get.
You never know.
It just happens that way.
It just sometimes...
You're pale and obsessed.
Yep. Oh, you know, yeah, Sarah Palin.
Ooh.
Well, you know what that means? That sound effects is our tip of the week, Eric. And I believe you are going to spearhead it for us.
Yes.
So without ado, please take the floor.
So this week's tip of the week is in these difficult economic times, how to potentially have your cake and eat it too. And that's buying CPO. So if you would like to have a CPO being certified pre-owned vehicle. So if you'd like to have a newer vehicle or a nicer vehicle, but you don't have the cash for it in this day and age, you should look at buying a certified pre-owned vehicle because you can get almost all the benefit of having a new car with low mileage, usually has a good warranty on it, it's been looked over, but you could get it for 30 to 40% less than what it costs brand new. You let someone else take it in the backside with depreciation.
Yeah, that's a lot of times CPO cars, you can let the person that owned it before you take it in the backside. It's because it'll be cheaper for you.
Exactly.
You know?
So, like, my obsession of late with Porsche Boxsters, I'm not going to spend $70,000 in a Boxster or $65,000 Boxster, but I can get a 2005 certified pre-owned Boxster S for
you know, $39,000.
That sounds like a pretty good deal. Plus, you know, CPO cars often have some sort of an
extended
warranty.
So it's good for 80 or 100,000 miles, which is good, especially on a German vehicle these days.
Yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing, that talking to the nerdy guy that I met at the Porsche thing yesterday that was waiting for his car when I was, he only buys CPO previously leased cars from Porsche. And so apparently, instead of having like the regular 5-year 100,000 miles warranty on their CPOs, they actually do 6 years.
Wow.
When it's a CPO, which I didn't know before. I mean, I was kind of like, wow, that's kind of cool. I need to look into this, because I don't know of any other CPO programs that do that, but it's actually a really cool idea, because what they're saying is our leased vehicles are getting a lot of maintenance and, you know, care built into the package. And then, so therefore we can actually extend the warranty. I like that. I mean, I don't know. I think everybody should probably do that.
One of the things
is that one of the books that I was, having been a financial advisor in the past and trying to convince people that, no, you don't need to have a new car every 3 or 4 years and buying a used car. There's nothing wrong with a used car and saving money. There's a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is a so-so book. But one of the things they point out is a great way to save money and actually have money to afford things is not to buy new cars. And that was one of the things that I always highlighted and handed out to people.
You actually practice that.
Yes. Yes, I've never bought a new car. I've always bought used vehicles.
Okay. Well, usually when I buy a car, it's like 5 years old. I mean, it still kind of has the newness to it.
That old car, new car smell.
Yeah, well, it's still new as far as the model, but it's not brand new. Mm-hmm. So you're not paying – a lot of the times, sometimes you just pay for the new modelness. I mean
mm-hmm. – You're right, Jeff. I mean, the thing is – and I mean – a new car actually can lose as much as 45% of its value in the first year, depending on the brand.
A ridiculous amount of money. It's just you're never going to get it back.
Yeah, yep. You know that as soon mm-hmm. as you drive it off the lot, it's losing money, right? But in 1 year, you literally can lose 35 to 45%. So that's kind of my policy.
So that's a good idea to keep your car longer then if you're going to buy it.
But that means you have to buy a brand that's going to be lasting longer, and previously
pshaw, all cars that, last
that wasn't a certain domestic a lot of you know domestic brands. Now it's kind of switching up, so it's kind of really what you like.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say what, Jeff?
I thought you were going to say the T word.
Chrysler.
What?
What? No, we will not say the T word. Ben would just have to censor it, I think. Like the O. The big O word, you know?
Olympics?
Yes. All right, and with that, that was our tip of the week. So thank you, Eric, for bringing that to our attention, buying CPO certified pre...
Eric, watch it.
He's getting excited over here. Buying certified pre-owned instead of new to save coin. Good tip. And with that, I think we can bring this show full circle. Bring it to a close. Michelle,
thank you for...
Now, was that Ben or was that you?
Facebook
that was
me.
Ben.
Oh. You can find Michelle Naranjo's work at lubechat.com. That's three lubes.
Oh, Rich put you up to that.
No, he didn't, actually. And fraumotormouth.org, right? No.
MissMotormouth.com.
Yes. Thank you, Ben, for correcting
me. MissMotormouth.com. Wow, it's like you guys Jinx. Planned that.
Yeah, that's creepy. So, Michelle, thank you for joining us per usual. Great job.
It's now virus free for like 3 days.
Olympics.
And Zach.
Yes.
Blog.webridestv.com.
Yep.
ExhaustNotes.org.
ExhaustNote singular.com.
All right. You working on anything exciting of late?
Just more reviews. You can also check out some more off-the-wall stuff over at Hooniverse.com.
And you're writing for them now, huh?
Yep. They were kind enough to have me on, so that's nice.
Oh, are they actually going to pay you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
What are you crazy?
We don't pay him, so, I mean, that's the going rate nowadays, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Great.
We give you sympathy, Zach.
Thanks.
And Jeff. Jeffrey Ross from Autotropolis.com.
That's me.
Yes, it is. You got anything exciting on the back burner? You got a bun in the oven?
I do not.
Not yet. Although I thought that's why you were getting
married.
Oh,
you're talking about stories.
Yes.
I'm going to drive the Escape plug-in hybrid next week.
It's actually not bad.
You plug it into a wall and drive it. That sounds pretty cool.
And the extent you run out of extension cord halfway to where you're going.
It's not a Leaf.
All right. So we'll look forward to that on Autotropolis.com or
it's
wherever
Autotropolis.com.
Else.
What did you call it? Autotropolis?
I said Autotropolis.com.
He's going, Autropolis.
It sounds like you're saying Aut. Like Autropolis.
I'm trying to sound like strangling a baby like Michelle does when she does
that. Now I'm a baby killer.
Sorry, Michelle, we love you. And Eric Strip. Eric the Rumble Strip.
Something you'd like to share with the class there, Craig?
Yeah.
Bronco Lounge.
Ow!
Apparently Craig's going over to Danny's later.
Oh. Hey, f*** you. We are not going to elaborate on that, but Eric Tritko.
You should go to the body shop.
You hit a nerve.
Rumblestrip.net, Rumblestrip on Twitter.
Correct.
Anything else you'd like to plug?
Next week.
What's next week?
I will have something to a project that I've been working on, and I will be happy to share it with people next week.
Project
tip
Eric
your hand
Strip.
To us, or are you going to wait?
I'm sorry?
Will you tip your hand, give us a clue to what it is, or are you going to hold
it
back?
Is a video project that I have been working on for
right,
another
press
for,
you.
For a
you.
Charitable organization.
Okay, well, very good. We'll have to check that out when you're all set.
I won't be here, but I'll be promoting it, too.
Well, God bless you, Michelle.
Facebook me.
And Ben Sanders, thank you very much for getting the show off the ground, finally.
You're welcome.
Oh, sorry. That was supposed to be the screw you.
All right, a couple things before we take off. Go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. We're always working on great stuff.
Whoa there. What's going on?
Seriously.
Jeff's having intercourse with his mic, I think. Something like that. Anyway, a couple things before we go. Again, I'd like to emphasize taking the podcast listener survey. We want to serve you better, so take that survey. It's very quick, 10 questions or so. You'll fly through it like airport security. No, wait. You'll buzz right through it, no problem. You can have it done in the amount of time it takes to do a bag of popcorn in the microwave, literally. It's that quick and that easy. See? There you go. My popcorn is done. It's Orville Redenbacher. Also, visit the Roab Emporium. If you look on the sidebar of the website, again, roundaboutshow.com, you'll see a little dollar sign. Click on the link labeled Roab Emporium. That takes you over to Cafe Press, where we've got all kinds of dandy items you can buy, from T-shirts and sweatshirts to coffee mugs and beer steins. Please go buy something. And we've got new
soon to have new
prices.
Merchandise.
Oh, what? New,
in addition
to
our low, low prices, how do we do it, Craig? I don't know how.
We roll them back.
We're soon to have new merchandise because I'm going to make good on my promise I made on this show some time ago. I don't know if it was actually during the show or pre-show, but we told our great fan Luke, cran-breaking
in
the... Where
is Luke? He's not even here.
Luke couldn't be here.
Sad trombone.
It is sad.
He'll listen in later, I'm sure.
I'm sure
he's a loyal listener.
That's another download we get. So I made a promise to Luke that if he made a mural of the Roundabout crew...
Which he did.
We would indeed turn it into a T-shirt. And so I hope by this time next week we will have a Roundabout T-shirt with Luke's wonderful...
handicraft on there. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Yep. And a thong you said you were working on as well, Ben.
Yeah, and I said a thong. But
combination thong eye patch.
It's, yeah. Exactly. We only have room for one face, so we're putting Michelle on it.
Call us at 1-559-ROAB-411. That's our Google Voice number.
And again, why would you want to do that?
You can leave comments. You can ask questions. You can do all kinds of things there, Ben.
You would like to get unsolicited advice from us.
Good
point. We could drunk dial it, you guys.
Michelle, God, that would be hilarious. Zach, that would be hilarious. You're always half in the bag.
True.
You distill your own spirits down there.
I've got a guy for that. I don't distill my own.
Again, the number is 1-559-ROAB-411. That's 1-559-ROAB-411. Call us, Google Voice number. You can leave a message there. Great stuff. You can comment, you can ask questions, or look for unsolicited car buying advice. So please drop us a line.
We will bring you on the show
live.
And
live on the show.
Live. Live on Roundabout.
Radio.com.
No, we'll do it live. Screw it. We'll do it live.
Eric Riley there. O'Reilly. Anyway, we also have a Facebook page. So Facebook-y. It's facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Go on there for frequent updates. Michelle, this is your baby. Anything you'd like to say about it?
Facebook me. Facebook us.
Fair enough. We're also on Twitter, roundaboutshow.com/twitter.com/roundaboutshow. So yeah, just we're on Twitter, so follow us there. And if you do not want to miss out on a single episode of Roundabout, and I don't blame you, you can subscribe to our podcast in a couple places, either on the iTunes Store or the Zune Marketplace, if that suits your fancy better than the iPod. So either way, you won't miss any shows. Plus, Ben, you have subscribed us to a new service called Stitcher. And if I remember correctly, that allows listeners to get the show directly on their mobile devices, phones, BlackBerries.
No, incorrect. It's actually a sewing social network group.
Okay. They're quilting.
Really doesn't have a whole lot to do with Roundabout. But.
Okay. All right.
But that's a great idea. If anyone knows of a service like that.
Yeah. And with that, I think we can call this show done. We can stick a fork in it. And I'd like to thank all of you out there listening for joining us this week. Please come back again next week as we circle the roundabout, and we will talk to you then.
I was out to dinner this last weekend with one of our fans.
What fan would that be?
A Wild Bill from Twitter.
Okay.
And his wife, and he was down here for a Linux convention, and he had his Linux people around him, and we were talking about the show, and he was really promoting it to them. And as soon as I mentioned Zune Marketplace, they
laughed.
All burst out.
Okay, why are you sharing this, Michelle?
Just to her to you. Welcome to the Roundabout Games opening ceremony.
Ben, you're a little early.
What do you mean? Aren't we supposed to... Oh, hello and welcome to... Well, you don't have it in here.
It is in here the script.
Are you calling him a premature...
Yes.
Yeah. Fine.
He's a premature gasser. I know that.
Welcome to the Roundabout Games opening ceremony.
And right now, the Ice Ribbon Dancers are taking center stage.
I can barely hear you. Are you on mic? God
yes,
damn it. You're unbelievable.
No, Ben, it's not unbelievable. It happens every week.
I love us.
I'll speak
it's
louder.
It's a six-man bobsled fail.
Well, while Michelle's away...
Yes.
Facebook me.
I thought I'd play that just so... Fill the void.
I
could have played the Olympic music again, you know. Fits our theme.
You want to do our opus again, Craig?
We could.
It was good the first time.
It'll be better the second.
I will leave.
I think my internet just cut out. See you guys.
My internet's in a tunnel.
Good.
Well, that's just real nice.
That's
real nice.
Yeah, that's classy right there.
You spend 40 minutes writing something, and this is what.
All right, Michelle.
What's going on, Michelle?